You and I have probably seen a lot of the same images in print media or television in recent years. I'm speaking about pictures of U.S. military men and women coming home from service overseas, greeting and even surprising their loved ones, especially the kids, the little kids, who catch that first glimpse of dad or mom, and we see them pause and take it in, react with awe and wonder, and then run, arms outstretched to be gathered up in a hug and a mixture of laughter and tears. Imagine for a moment that joyful embrace. Imagine yourself caught up in such a moment, overjoyed at a welcomed reunion. And now hear Jesus' words. Receive the kingdom of God like a little child. In a way, the message this week feels a little like part two of a message from a couple of weeks ago, where Jesus put a small child in their midst and bid his disciples welcome the little children, because by welcoming them, they welcome him and also the one who sent him, God. Remember also, at that time, I told you that women and children were of lesser value in the patriarchal society of Jesus' time. Women were often viewed as property, and while having a son was important, until that son was old enough to enter into the family trade or form a marriage alliance, that child was just another mouth to feed. And daughters were another matter altogether, for the father had to provide a dowry in order for them to marry. And yet, bless you. And yet, we also read stories in the Gospels about parents who care very much about their children's lives and well-being. One day in Galilee, the synagogue leader Jairus came to Jesus to plead for his daughter's life. And when a woman in the crowd interrupted Jesus, touched his cloak, and also received healing from him, and Jesus turned around and called her daughter, too. In the region around Tyre and Sidon along the Mediterranean Sea, Jesus was at a house when a Syrophoenician woman, a foreigner, a religious outsider, came to ask for her daughter to be healed. And Jesus healed her, too. And in one of the villages near Caesarea Philippi, a father pleaded for his son to be healed, and Jesus healed the boy. Jesus does not withhold healing from anyone, not from sons, not from Romans, not from Syrophoenicians, not even from adult daughters. So why, I wonder, did the disciples try to prevent the children from coming to Jesus? Clearly, it was not Jesus who directed them to do so. But suddenly, now that they've returned to Galilee and they're on their way to Jerusalem, they have become gatekeepers, become like Pharisees themselves, limiting and hoarding God's grace. Do we ever do that? Do we set limits on God's grace? Do we decide who's in and who's out? When did we stop trusting that God has enough grace for everyone? When we begin to believe there isn't enough to go around, we start buying into the myth of scarcity. Our ancestors in faith fought against the myth of scarcity and doubts in God's sovereignty and providence by examining their history as a people and as individual people. Where had God been moving in their faith story? How had God been present in their lives, embracing and proclaiming God's work in the past? Help them to trust in God in their present and for their future. Early in John Wesley's ministerial career, John experienced a season of doubt. He had had a couple of not very successful years working in the colony of Georgia, and he was returning home when a terrible storm battered the ship he was sailing on. And John was terrified, and he cowered in fear for his life. But also traveling on this ship were a group of Moravian Christians, and John observed them living their faith, kneeling and praying and singing songs of praise to God through the worst part of the storm. Their trust in God, whatever the outcome might be, had such an impact on him that when the ship safely docked in England, John went in search of answers, and he met an influential Moravian clergyman named Peter Bowler. Wesley confided in him that he was actually considering leaving his profession. His faith was so shaken. And Bowler counseled him, "Preach faith until you have it, and when you have it, you will preach faith." I suggest we apply that same sentiment to the myth of scarcity. Proclaim abundance until you believe it, and when you believe it, you will proclaim abundance. Let me tell you a couple of places where I see abundance being proclaimed right now. More than 37,000 refugees from Afghanistan have arrived in the U.S. in the last couple of months. I can hardly imagine what that feels like, to have a matter of hours, or maybe not even that, to pack up only what you can carry and leave everything familiar behind for a future that is unknown. To arrive in a land where you might not speak the language, where you have no idea how you're going to live, and feel uncertain of a welcome. Rachel Gaston was deployed a couple of weeks ago to Washington, D.C., where many of these refugees were being processed upon entry to this country. She and other medical professionals gave physicals and administered COVID vaccines and attended to other necessities. These evacuees were stationed in temporary housing before they could be located to more permanent situations throughout refugee centers across this nation, including the refugee center in Utica. That center was notified just a couple of weeks ago that at least 20 of the refugees would be sent to Utica through their agency, possibly more as the weeks unfold. For more than two decades, the center in Utica has been welcoming foreigners to the U.S., helping them learn our language, assisting them in rebuilding their lives, assisting in everything from housing and grocery shopping to employment and training. And through the center, it's offered in dozens of languages to help smooth this transition. But I also read a story a couple of weeks ago about another promise of welcome for Afghan refugees, led by one who is an immigrant himself and close to us, Chobani Yogurt founder and CEO Hamdi Lukaya. Lukaya, you might know, came to the U.S. from Turkey as a young man in 1994. The Turkish state's oppression of the Kurdish minority drove him to seek asylum here. Lukaya has organized a coalition of businesses he calls the Tent Coalition for Afghan Refugees, and he has convinced 33 other industry leaders to commit alongside him to hiring and training Afghan refugees to work in their corporations. So along with Chobani, Amazon, Facebook, Pfizer, and UPS, just to name some, have all extended this welcome and opportunity, support and training. Just what any one of us might hope to find if we stood in the shoes of those Afghan evacuees. And yet we also know not every immigrant, not every would-be immigrant, receives the same sort of welcome. For we are also aware in these last few weeks that Haitian immigrants have been turned away from the U.S. border and are being returned home to the poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere, their hopes and needs going unmet at our borders. Receive the kingdom of God like a little child. Eyes wide open, arms outstretched, point to it, embrace it, laugh and cry and rejoice over it. But keep your eyes wide open, because our job is not just to proclaim the coming of God's kingdom, but to help bring that kingdom to fruition for all God's people, not just for some. So trust God and proclaim abundance. And welcome all. Amen.